So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin is giving cabinet secretaries to Governor Tony Evers, who took office just 1 month and 1 day ago, giving cabinet secretaries a chance to come in and talk about their agencies, their backgrounds, and their goals. So Caleb Frostman went from the state senate to being secretary of the Department of Workforce Development. Caleb, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
On the job 30 days and 1 month. Define the mission of your agency as you've learned it.
Yeah, we've been really focused on making sure that folks can enter the workforce. We provide capacity for Wisconsin workers to enter the workforce, to remain within it, and advance within it, with a really sharp focus on quality of life measures, of course, like unemployment rate, labor participation, but also looking at things like wage growth, asking tough questions like how many Wisconsinites are working multiple jobs to make ends meet, how many work 50, 60 hours a week, and where can we be creative in finding new ways to get folks in the workforce in the first place, and then help them advance their career and advance their economic standing as well.
In his state-to-state message, Governor Evers said one way to judge our quality of life is the number of people that are working two and a half jobs just to make ends meet. How big a problem is that, Mr. Secretary?
That's a huge problem. And I know the governor has been focusing on things like entrepreneurism, and we look at quality of life measures, and I think as we look at where we can, you know, put some leverage behind programming and make folks, you know, the folks have talked previously about the dignity born of hard work, which I agree with, but there's a second piece to that hard work should result in a dignified life. And so if folks are having to put, you know, 50, 60 hours in to just pay their bills and not necessarily set aside money for retirement or, you know, have money for home repairs, that's an issue. And so that's why we're looking at those questions of how many folks are, you know, burning the candle at both ends just to barely eke by. And so that's something we want to make sure we're focusing on really intently at multiple agencies, but DWD in particular.
Closely related to this is the debate over the minimum wage. Can I ask you this? Have you asked Governor Evers to recommend an increase in the minimum wage when he gives the legislature his budget on February 28th?
We're still working through the details on that. That's a piece we look at in terms of kind of what's, again, that dignified life. And I think that's been a social contract signed in this country for coming up on 100 years, that if you put in 40 hours a week, you are entitled to a dignified life. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything fancy, but a lot of folks working 40 hours or more can't afford those bare necessities of dignity in Wisconsin or in America. And so we're going to look at programs that encourage wage growth, and I think, you know, minimum wage will likely be a discussion going forward, whether it's in the budget or elsewhere, but that'll be looked at pretty closely going forward.
Do you think our minimum wage should be increased?
I do think we should have a plan to a living wage for sure, and $7.25 is not a living wage in Wisconsin, okay, or anywhere for that matter.
Talk about the changes that Wisconsin faces in terms of its workforce, because, groups like Competitive Wisconsin and their Be Bold initiative, mm-hmm, have put together some stats showing that we suffer from a number of, suffer is the wrong term, that we have a lot of different things going on.
Right.
We have an aging workforce. We are losing those in their prime working age, 25 through 54. Can you summarize the top issues, workforce issues, as you see them, sir?
Yeah, and so I think the governor's been really on point with, you know, talking about connecting the dots. The governor went around the state and did the people's budget seminars where we met with folks in the western part of the state, the central, eastern, northern, southern, and a resounding theme was that they wanted to see agencies work together. And a big piece of that was workforce discussions, and you and I were talking a little before the segment, but mm-hmm, as an economic developer, I heard about a workforce shortage every single day from employers of all sizes, and as a legislator, I heard the same thing. And so looking at these demographic challenges, whether it's aging populations or the net outflow from Wisconsin, we want to see our agencies work together. I look at things, and the governor's talked about a correctional facility, making sure our correctional facilities actually correct and rehabilitate, and that our reentry programs set up people for success when they leave those institutions to enter the workforce and work with our employers to be perhaps more amenable to accepting employees with perhaps criminal backgrounds and those kind of things if we have the proper precautions in place. And so I think that's an area we want to make sure that our public schools graduate, of course, critical thinkers, but also students that are able to enter the workforce at 18 if they so choose. So I think those partnerships can help address some of those shortages. And I think also I talk a lot about pairing attraction with promotion, that I think promoting our state as a destination is a great start. And I know the legislative dollars that we're giving to WEDC, I think, is a start in the right direction. But we have to make sure we have a quality bill of goods that people want to be here. And so I think whether it's protecting our natural resources and restoring with science to the DNR, or those corrections programs, our public schools, we need to make sure that we have a really top-notch bill of goods that is attractive to people, and then we can also tell that story and get more folks to come back to Wisconsin.
As a cabinet secretary, and now as a, formerly as a state senator, when you talk to employers who say, we are hiring, we can't find qualified workers, what are the biggest reasons they can't find qualified workers? Not training, can't pass drug tests, excuse me, what?
It's kind of all of those things. So it's a lot of it's soft skills. I think a lot of folks that I've talked to, I have family in the central part of the state. I've worked in Northeast Wisconsin. I've got friends and family all over. But a resounding theme are those soft skills, whether it's punctuality. Substance abuse does tend to be an issue. And so as you look, and I think that's why this connecting the dots is such a really compelling theme, that we look at the labor force in general. We've got a huge number of folks in the labor force that are already working, a very small number that aren't. But how do we be creative about getting folks that aren't in the labor pool into the labor pool, whether it's single parents that can't afford child, or even coupled parents that can't afford child care? Can we find cost offsets to child care that might bring more parents into the workforce, whether it's reentry programs? I think that's kind of where we're looking to accelerate workforce growth, is on some of those groups that aren't currently considered in the technical workforce today.
Whose job is it to train the next generation of workers? Is it state governments, or is it these private businesses to be sure that they have pipeline programs in place so that they can expand or keep their manufacturing plants in Wisconsin?
That's a great question, and I think we're really excited to partner with those folks. Again, those people's budget sessions talked about collaboration among all those lines, whether it was private employers, state government, our public school system, labor unions, trade associations. I think there's a really strong desire, maybe more so than in recent memory, to have those groups work together, because the workforce shortage is such an issue for so many industries, communities, and economies, that there's a really strong desire for folks to put their brains together to find ways to have academic and career planning and work-based learning opportunities in our school be robust and effective, have our private employers investing in training programs, and then having the state be responsive and communicative and listen to what our employers need for training programs for their workers.
You've only been on the job 31 days. Is this one of the top crises facing Wisconsin, the future of our workforce?
I think I look at it as a very serious challenge, but on both sides, on making sure that our employers find enough workers, but then what we're seeing from folks that are currently working that aren't being advocated for and aren't seeing wage gains in accordance with inflation, or especially not within tandem with productivity gains throughout the state. And so both of those things, making sure that our employers are able to, have the help they need to move our economy forward, but the folks that are working are being advocated for and have a chance to really see quality of life gains from something other than a second or third job or a 50th or 60th hour of work.
The UW system put out a press release yesterday saying we're graduating a record number of graduates with four-year degrees. Do we overemphasize the four-year degrees and English, philosophy, political science, and the languages, and I'm not denigrating those,
no,
at the expense of training the next generation of workers?
That's another good question. And so I'm really grateful, my professional background, for my letters in science, liberal arts portion. I think, reading Dostoevsky and Tolstoy taught me how to have empathy for villains sometimes, and how to, weigh the validity of arguments. So I think it's really important that we emphasize both. I do think there has been a tragic shortage of emphasis on careers in the trades and the viability of, working with your hands or getting a tech degree. When I was in economic development, when I was a legislator, those are things we focused on intently because of some of the living wage opportunities that folks can experience much earlier in life, and many times without the expense of student debt. And I sit on the Wisconsin Technical College Board, and they just did their annual report on their registered apprenticeship program, and seeing the average starting wages for these apprentices was just mind-blowing. And so, I think you can emphasize both. I think there's value to portions of your education having that, philosophy, English, social studies. That's really important thing to have an insightful and productive perspective on societal issues, but there are so many opportunities for folks to make a living working with their hands and working in the trades.
You mentioned apprenticeships. How key are those to training up our next generation of workers? Because Governor Walker was proud. Over his 8 years, he increased the number of apprenticeships. How central should apprenticeships be in your 4 years?
Yeah, we are seeing really strong returns on the investment in youth apprenticeship and registered apprenticeship. Again, going back to the annual report, it was just mind-blowing to see if you can be paid to learn how to be an operating engineer or a welder or a CNC machinist, the opportunities that are there. So I think it's really incumbent upon both the legislature and folks in the workforce area to, and again, that's an area where we see already pretty strong collaboration between private employers, between labor groups, between educators, with the belief in those programs.
One example that I heard about 2 months ago that just surprised me, you can get trained to work in windmill production, solar production, mm-hmm. and starting wage, $45,000 an hour. So are there...
$45,000 an hour?
I'm sorry, $45,000 okay. a year. Thank you for the
correction. That's okay. I was like, are they taking applications?
$45,000 a year. My mistake.
That's okay.
Are there a number of opportunities like that
yes.
out there?
Yeah, the Wisconsin
Is word getting out?
And that's a piece, I think, you know, there needs to be a cultural shift, whether it's the parents, whether it's educators, whether it's the students, but having that cultural shift that working in the trades is, it's challenging, it's fulfilling, and, you know, by your early 20s, mid-20s, early 30s, you can be making serious, serious money. So I think that's, an area that we want to emphasize is whether it's word of mouth, whether it's a marketing campaign, whether it's partnering with our universities and tech colleges, that word has to get out there because for too long that's not been the story that's been told.
Is there still a societal and cultural stigma against some of these manufacturing floor jobs?
You know, I think some of that's changing. I was really proud of my prior life as an economic developer. We put forward our first manufacturing days to highlight careers in manufacturing and to show that the days of dark, dirty, dingy, and dangerous are gone. That, you know, these well-lit, really clean, high-tech manufacturing facilities provide awesome opportunities. And so I think that is shifting. I think maybe more of the stigma is that you need a four-year degree to succeed, which isn't necessarily true. There's definitely value for different professions for a four-year degree, but you can succeed, and we're trying to tell that story with a two-year degree, a one-year degree, or entering the workforce directly out of high school. So we're working on that messaging.
Governor Walker's administration started programs that placed ads in Chicago and Twin Cities saying, look at the quality of life you can have, and your rents are affordable. And he also, Governor Walker's administration, also targeted vets coming back to Wisconsin. Have you seen any evidence that those marketing programs are working?
It's interesting. I think those programs are on the right track in terms of, we talked earlier a little about attraction and promotion. The stats that I've seen, and they were about a year ago at this point, is that Wisconsin was fairly good at retaining folks, but once they leave, we have a difficult time getting them back. And so I think if we can improve the quality of the bill of goods we have to sell here in terms of our quality schools, in terms of natural resources, our roads, our entrepreneurial infrastructure, and then tell that story through a promotional campaign, I think there is progress to be made.
Wisconsin has traditionally been number one or number two in the number of manufacturing jobs. It's us versus Indiana.
Yep.
Are you worried that we're going to lose that if we don't have a qualified workforce for our manufacturers in the future? How worried are you?
It's something we take really seriously. I mean, I think that's, I think I've been seeing some statistics lately about the number of jobs that come from one manufacturing job versus other industries. And manufacturing is a strength for Wisconsin. It has been. I think we'd be wise to, of course, build other areas of the economy, but to emphasize and to capitalize on that strength. And so I think to the extent we can be creative in connecting those dots of finding additional workers for that aren't in the labor pool today, making sure that all of our employers have adequate employees. But, I think manufacturing as a strength helps Wisconsin. And you're right, on a per capita basis, it goes back and forth between us and Indiana. But I think that's a strong concentration for Wisconsin to focus on.
What do your experts tell you in terms of the fastest growing career fields in Wisconsin for the next 5, 10, 20 years? You pick the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think we look a lot at IT's talked about quite a bit. Healthcare comes up all the time, and I think, Wisconsin struggles mightily to pay its CNAs, its certified nursing assistants, especially kind of along the western border, where Minnesota, among other things, has expanded Medicaid so they can have higher reimbursement rates to pay their CNAs. But there's sometimes a $5 to $7 an hour difference between Hudson and Stillwater. And so looking at areas like that, healthcare is a big concern, technology, manufacturing. So those are, and I think durable goods manufacturing tends to have a perhaps a higher impact on the economy than non-durable goods, but Wisconsin's well positioned in both.
Let's get in to the issue of Foxconn. Let's talk about that. If they employ They remember the on again, off again stories last week.
Mm-hmm.
The last operative word was, as a result of a conversation with President Trump, they are going to build some type of manufacturing facility in Mount Pleasant in Racine County. How critical is Foxconn building that manufacturing plant to your long-term goals for Wisconsin's workforce?
Good question. So the southeast part of the state has invested really heavily in this project, and so it's really important that we are smart and strong stewards of our taxpayer dollars, whether it's through Racine County or the Village of Mount Pleasant or the state of Wisconsin. So I think that corner of the state has had the highest unemployment for a long, long time. So we're really cognizant of making sure that the investments they're making are paying off. So we stand ready to help Foxconn with their employment needs, whether it's through our job centers, through upskilling folks that are already in that area. I know we've partnered with a couple different agencies on hiring veterans there. So, with the size of the investment that the locals have made there and that the state is poised to make, that's a something we've been watching very closely. We'll watch very closely. The administration, I think, has been really on point with we're going to be strong stewards of our taxpayer money, but we have to make sure that we're working within the confines of the Southeast Wisconsin economy.
When the Foxconn incentive package was voted on in the state assembly, one African-American representative, Representative Jason Fields from Milwaukee, said, "I'm voting for this because I've been told by members of the Walker administration that my constituents will have a chance to have jobs on the Foxconn campus." Are there training systems or other systems in place now to lay the groundwork for them indeed to have jobs at Foxconn?
I know there's a strong desire from constituents in the southeast part of the state to have, all of populations of veterans, of women-owned, women, minorities, both as workers and as contractors for Foxconn. I think it's too early in the process to tell where that's at. I think their first reporting was about 180 jobs in that neck of the woods. So I know there's a desire for folks to see that, and I think we'll, as the extent we continue working hard on this with Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to see that too, whether it's...
Do you have a personal commitment as secretary? So some of those inner city residents in Milwaukee would have a shot at Foxconn jobs, assuming a manufacturing plant is built?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big focus for us, is to make sure that, at least have a shot at those jobs, to be upskilled, to make sure that they have opportunities that have been promised to them. And I think if the wages come in where they say they're going to come in, that could be an opportunity for folks to go from maybe making $20,000 a year to making $30,000 or whatever. These jumps could be significant. So to the extent we talk about connecting the dots and quality of life increases, it's incumbent upon us to look for those opportunities wherever they might be, whether that's in Foxconn or Milwaukee or somewhere else.
What about the disparity in our urban areas? And I'm referring to central Wisconsin, Madison area, southeast Wisconsin, up the Fox Valley, which is the heart of our manufacturing production, and versus the northern rural counties. Growing disparity that concerns you?
Yeah, well, I think there's disparities all over the state that concern us. The unemployment rate for the general population versus the population of color. I think there are issues that rural areas face that we're trying to figure out, and by we, I mean the collective we, the entire state, not just CWE, not just the administration, but whether it's regulatory or whether it's finding a quality of life for folks that they haven't seen for a long, long time. And so it's an ongoing conversation across multiple agencies, across both parties. You've seen the Rural Caucus and different economic development plans for rural areas. It's a really, really strong point of, I won't say contention, but discussion that folks are really honing in on, because it's becoming such an issue that folks, whether it's real or perceived, feel like they're being left behind in rural Wisconsin. So we're working hard on that.
Is the issue of brain drain hurting our rural northern Wisconsin more than our southern and central Wisconsin?
It sure seems that way. I've not seen data to support either direction, but anecdotally from folks that, where I live in Sturgeon Bay, or my dad's family's in Stevens Point, with other folks in Bayfield County and all over the state, I have friends, in Muscadet and other areas. It seems as though it is. It seems that at least there's a perception that the opportunity there is lacking. And so I think it's important as we pair, again, attraction with promotion and improving and are making sure our roads are drivable. I hear, in rural areas, we focused a lot in Door County on trying to attract entrepreneurs to our area. And so making sure our rural areas have usable broadband, that the broadband telecommunication infrastructure is such that we can bring telecommuters, we can have entrepreneurs connecting with their customers, selling their products online. Issues like that are things that I think will help even the playing field for rural constituents in northern Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, and elsewhere.
You mentioned broadband. The internet access. Has the state, do you think, are you hearing, you've only been on job 31 days, has the state made significant progress in connecting, especially northern Wisconsin and rural Wisconsin, to the broadband, which is so critical to people starting businesses?
Yeah, no. What I'm hearing from folks in the economic development community, and among my colleagues, is that we've not made enough progress. That there are areas in rural parts of the state, again in my home area of Door County, but also in northern Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin. I know there was a push to start some broadband grants within the last maybe the last biennium or the last two, but it's not been adequate to address the needs of what I consider an equality of opportunity issue, whether it's our students in our rural schools that have great broadband at school but might not have it at home. So if there are projects or research assignments that their counterparts in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Wausau can do, but someone in Washburn or Boscobel can't do, that's an issue. And our entrepreneurs and our businesses, there was a business in northern Door County that was bringing in 20 DSL lines to make sure they could get out a four-minute YouTube clip, and it was shutting down their internet for an hour. So there are businesses like that throughout the state still facing.
Is that still happening?
I think it
to
is.
To that Door County business?
I believe it is, yeah. So they're working hard to improve that, but areas that even have less connectivity, it's a real equality of opportunity issue. That would, I'm not saying completely level the playing field, but really make a huge dent in allowing rural communities to be more successful.
As you worry about Wisconsin's workforce of the future, how critical is the national debate over immigration?
It's huge. I mean, I think
what's the upside and what's the downside?
You know, I think for me, the upside is huge. I think you need to have smart immigration to make sure that we've got a process in place that, goes through the investigative process, make sure that, you know, that we're safe and those kind of things. But with where we're at and how this country was built, but where we're at in our workforce shortage, there are so many people that want to come here for the opportunity of creating a better life for themselves and their family. And it's hard, I guess, for me personally to have folks arguing it both ways. And one side of my mouth says I can't find the employees, but I don't want anyone from that doesn't look like me or those kind of things. So it's a huge issue. I think that our economy is being held back by our lack of in-migration to Wisconsin, to the United States, and so I think we need to be very smart about it, but I think that adopting immigration policies that embrace the net immigration of quality workers that could really aid our economy would be a smart move for the United States to adopt.
Okay, again, you've only been on the job 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to revise the budget recommendation submitted by your predecessor to include any new initiatives that you feel strongly about that the state should implement over the next 2 years on the issue of workforce?
Yeah, so we're working on that right now. So we're going to have budget discussions in the next couple of days.
Give me a preview.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd love a preview.
Whisper it in my ear.
Yeah, I will. No, it's been good. I mean, I think, without being too specific, we can be really candid in saying that we look for where the greatest return is, and we've talked about some of those programs, whether it's with our youth. I think connecting those folks with employment opportunities early and often has been helpful, and I think we want to make sure that we enhance that going forward. The governor, again, with the connecting the dots metaphor, whether it's reentry programs, and I think there's a lot of progress that can continue to be made with our veterans, and so we're going to try to be building on what has worked so far and what has worked the best and investing our time and energy and dollars and manpower behind the highest return programs for the state of Wisconsin.
Governor Walker, who lost your boss, but he campaigned on a tuition forgiveness program if workers stay in Wisconsin. Good idea? Something you're urging Governor Evers reconsider?
Well, it's certainly not, any way to retain high-quality talent in Wisconsin, I think, is a top priority for this administration and for any administration in Wisconsin. If we look at those numbers of the demographic shift and where our top talent is going, I'm sure there'll be a multitude of programs to try to keep folks here, but whether it's tuition forgiveness or whether it's better broadband, better roads, better schools, I think taking the comprehensive, broad approach of retaining our top talent and attracting new people here is really smart.
Wisconsin is going to lose jobs or not gain jobs if we can't meet the needs of the next generation of workers, correct?
Likely correct, yeah.
What about some, and again, I want to credit Competitive Wisconsin and their Be Bold for providing me the information on different types of incentives that different states are offering to mm-hmm. keep workers. Marquette, Kansas, a free plot of land to anyone to build a home on it, things like that. Vermont will give a $10,000 grant away to each of the first 100 people who move into the state and work remotely for an out-of-state employer, and maybe just use one more. Grant County near Indianapolis offers college graduates moving to the area a $5,000 home buyer's loan, or 20% of their rent each month up to $2,500. Do we need incentives like this, Mr. Secretary?
Great question. And I think there are a lot of local community groups that do grants like that, whether it's a first-time homebuyer grant. There are business incentives in industrial parks that if you create enough number of jobs at a certain wage, you can receive loan forgiveness for the purchase of the land. I think programs like that are a step in the right direction. I think we'll, again, look at all these options to make sure that we've got an attractive bill of goods. But these grants are something certainly to consider, whether it's tuition reimbursement, whether it's free land. It's interesting. In my past life as an economic developer, I would drive through rural parts of the state and wonder what we could do for home improvements and even like Main Street facade improvements. You know, there are parts of rural America that are really, I think, a little bit tired. And if we could find a way to revitalize those areas, whether it's through perhaps Main Street programs, those little things make a big difference. And so I think to the extent we can prioritize those type of programs would be really, really smart for Wisconsin.
Access to health care is a critical part of this dialogue, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
We're not going to have qualified workers stay here. Mm-hmm. We're not going to reverse the idea that we're losing, we're exporting some of our working age people unless health care is not a major concern of theirs.
Oh, and it's got to be. And I think from multiple perspectives, from our aging population, making sure we have adequate workforce as CNAs and other long-term care folks. That's a huge concern. I've heard about from all constituencies that's a real concern. And also, making sure we have the facilities can be healthy financially, but that our retirees can be taken care of and they can stay in their communities, whether it's Minocqua or, somewhere in Trempealeau County. We want to make sure that those folks can stay. But as you're looking at taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, you need to have strong, healthy institutions as well as high-quality health care. And our neighbors, to some extent, at least Minnesota, has done a lot better than we have. And so we're trying to look at best practices and things that would help us be more competitive in that area.
I want your elevator speech. If you're giving a speech to a graduating UW system, mm-hmm. or a VocTech class, mm-hmm. in terms of why they should stay in Wisconsin, give me your elevator speech.
So I would say that this administration really wants to make sure that Wisconsin works for everyone. And I think that means our employers, making sure we're providing them with workers at the skills that they actually need, working for our employers, advocating that, again, that hard work results in a dignified life, and making sure that our entrepreneurs have a fertile infrastructure for their success. And so I think making sure all three of those constituencies are taken care of will set up Wisconsin going forward. And we're taking a very broad approach to our public schools, our corrections, our natural resources, our road infrastructure, our telecommunications. So we've got really smart people working really hard, looking at all those avenues to improve quality of life for Wisconsinites here in Wisconsin for at least the next 4 years and beyond.
And when we do this interview 4 years from now, you'll be a successful secretary if you hit one, two, or three benchmarks. Go.
I would love to see wages pick up at a faster pace than they have thus far, our employment market remaining healthy. I'd love to see those quality of life programs we talked about, whether it's been childcare, whether it's been ranchery, see the labor pool be a larger number and a larger percentage of Wisconsinites. I think if we can create the opportunity, the capacity for folks to enter the workforce that currently aren't in it, and then maybe even finding ways to be creative to get those that small percentage of folks that are looking for work and can't find it, helping them find it, giving them those soft skills, perhaps the health care they need to get over their substance abuse issues, whatever the barriers to employment are in that small sector, and then in this larger sector of folks that aren't even in the workforce, finding ways to make sure they can get in and be productive members of society too.
Caleb Frostman, Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development. You and your agency, a big part of the state's future. So thanks for coming in to talk about it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet.